Take your Bible this evening, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 37 is the text for the message this evening. The new year is often a time when people make resolutions. You hear it on the radio of, you know, how many resolutions people have you made resolutions and so on, and make changes in our lives. The beginning of a day is any time you can make changes in your life, but the beginning of a year is often the time to evaluate where things are at and to make some changes, quitting bad habits. And you hear people talking about quitting, you know, bad habits, quitting smoking and poor eating choices and putting off, you know, stop procrastinating, do better at different jobs and so on, and establishing good habits of healthy eating and establishing good habits of exercise and reading your Bible and prayer and being in church and so on. And this time of the year is often when people are debating those things and trying to implement those things in their life. They have a desire for change. I'm sure many of us do realize there's things in our lives we need to change, but often the fulfillment is not successful. And here we are, January the 4th. I would propose to you tonight that some people who made resolutions to start January the 1st, and they've already broken them. That's the way often it happens. Some lack the willpower, some lack commitment or the follow-through, and it's not easy, quite frankly. If you've been in the habit of doing some things that you want to change, they say that it takes 6 weeks to establish a good habit, and probably a whole lot longer than that to break a bad one. So it's not easy. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, when he had sent the disciples to pray and they were sleeping when he came back, he said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's how it is. Many times when we try to make changes in our life, the spirit is willing, we have a desire to do it, but the flesh is weak. But as Christians, I believe that there's another element involved other than and the willpower and so on, and that is the power of God. We have a greater power within us than our flesh. We have God's presence with us. We have God's enabling. And so as we think about breaking bad habits, putting good habits into implementation, we have an extra resource, as it were, that trumps all other, and that is God's power in our life. With His power, we can be victorious. But many times, the problem is we fail to rely on His power and fail to believe that He can give us the strength to do that. I'm mindful of the blind men who came to Jesus and they wanted to be healed. And Jesus said this to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They'd come to Him to be healed, but He said, "Do you believe that I can heal you?" It was a matter of faith. They needed to believe that He was able to do that. They answered, "Yea, Lord." And they were healed. Thankfully, that's a great blessing. They received their sight. But many times I think that we fail to believe that God can make us victorious in our life. And I'm not talking about necessarily God helping us with that diet or exercise program. I mean, they're good things and they may be wise for us to implement in our life. But I'm talking about things that we need to get victory over in our life. A victory over sin, things that hinder our testimony for the Lord, and so on. And so Jesus speaks in our text this evening about being made free. Look with me in John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." Twice Jesus says, "You shall be free. The truth shall make you free, and the Son shall make you free." The question is, are you free tonight? Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, again, we are thankful that we can meet together, thankful that we have the Bible to instruct us, to give us strength, to give us that hope that we need to know that You can give us victory in our life and can set us free from sin, from sinful habits, from things that should not be a part of our life. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we consider your word tonight to realize how we can be made free, how we can be set free. And Lord, if there be anyone here tonight that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that tonight they would receive your wonderful gift of salvation and be made free from sin and the penalty of sin because of that salvation that you have provided. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to leave here challenged, encouraged, and ready to just trust you for that freedom, that victory that you give us in our life, even this week. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, first of all, in verse number 31, Jesus speaks about disciples. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." You know, there's a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. They're not exactly the same thing. They had believed on him. That's what it says. He was responding to those who had believed on him. So they were believers. They were Christians. They believed his words as to who he was and why he had come. And therefore, they were believers. And they were brand new believers. Their faith had not been tested. They didn't know a whole lot. But they were believers. They were, what we would say, they were Christians. And he said to them, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." It's very simple to become a Christian. It takes only simple faith and repentance of sin. It's very easy to become a Christian. But to become a disciple is a different story. To be a disciple of Christ, Christians should be disciples, but not every Christian is a disciple. Now, every person who would be a disciple of Jesus Christ must be a Christian. But not every Christian is a disciple. But Jesus said that if they wanted to learn more about him, if they wanted to know more about the Christian life, they needed to continue in his word. To continue is to keep reading and to keep studying it, to learn more. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." We're hearing the word of God. If you're here tonight, I've read these verses. If you can hear my voice, you have heard the word of God. It's very easy to hear it. Now what are we going to do with it? Are we going to keep it? Like grow in it, apply it in our life, and observe it to obey it? Keep has a similar thought as to continue. It means to preserve and to obey or to observe. Again, it's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to continue in it. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Believers are to continue in the word of God, to live out their faith. And Jesus said, if we will continue in his word, then are we his disciples indeed. Again, a disciple is a learner, a pupil, a student, a follower. The proof of being a disciple of Christ is, according to what Jesus said here, continuing in his word. Following on in his word. Christians need to be students of the word of God. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he said this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls." But he said, learn of me. That's the next step. We come to him with our sin. We come to him and realize that we're burdened down. We need his salvation. We come to him and receive that. And he takes that load off us. And now he says, now it's time to learn of me. Jesus said in John 14:15, he said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In Matthew 7, he speaks about two different men, one wise and one foolish. What made the difference between the wise and the foolish was the wise man was the one who heard the word of God and kept it. Jesus said, if you want to be a wise man, you will hear my words and you will obey them, you will follow them. And if you'll be a wise person, then you'll be that person that builds their house upon a rock and not the house upon the sand. That's why I'd ask you tonight, would you consider yourself a disciple? If you continue in my word, Jesus said, then are you my disciples indeed. And then he goes on to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So as disciples, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We're freed by the truth. But look at verse 32. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But verse 33 says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? The problem with these people was that they didn't see a need to be freed because they didn't realize, they didn't understand that they were in bondage. Because of who they were. They said, we're the children of Abraham. We're the Jewish people. We're not in bondage to anybody. You know, sometimes I believe as Christians we fail to acknowledge the things that have us bound or the things that really are controlling our life. We say, well, no, I'm a Christian. Nothing controls my life. God is the only one that controls our life. But in reality, we're just like these Jewish people that Jesus was speaking of who were also disciples, and we don't realize there are things that are controlling our life that shouldn't be there. We say, but I'm a Christian. I'm not in bondage to anything. I don't have addiction issues. Some of us are ashamed to admit our addictions because we say, well, I'm a believer. I can't acknowledge that I'm addicted to this or to that, or that I have a problem with this or with that. And then on the other hand, we often fail to see our own failures. We see it in other people. Remember Jesus said we see the speck in somebody else's eye, but we don't see the beam that's in our own. And we can often look at somebody and say, boy, they've got a real problem with that. I can just see it. Well, look in the mirror first, amen? That's what we need to do. And say, well, if they got a problem with that, maybe I can pray for them about that. But what about the mote that is the beam that is in my own eye? We need to take a good look at our lives to see if there are anything that we are under the power of, as Jesus, or as the Bible says, and we'll look at it in just a second, that needs to be dealt with. And so Jesus said to them, he said, if you are, verse 34, verily, verily, it means truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But if you are in the habit of committing sin, then you are a servant to sin. So you are in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. Whoever commits sin habitually is in bondage to that. A servant isn't somebody who is just an employee that has a choice that says, well, I'm going to go work here now instead of there. No, this is speaking about a slave. He said, you're slave to sin. If you're continually committing sin, then you are a slave to that sin. It says in 2 Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Listen to this statement. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. If something has overcome you, you are bound by that. Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. How many times we think, I'm in control of my life. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm in control of my life, when in actual fact, we have habits that are controlling our life. We are really servant to that. We're in bondage to that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. He said, I can do things that are, you know, obviously he wasn't saying he could do things that were morally wrong, but he said, I have the ability to choose what I do, but he said, not everything is profitable or expedient. He said, all things are lawful unto me. We're going to say this, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, sometimes we don't realize that by participating in things, we are being brought under the power of that, under the control of that. And we'd have to ask the question, is there anything controlling my life? What is it that controls my life? He said it wasn't profitable to be controlled by something else. To have something controlling his life. We have the saying, the tail is wagging the dog. Was that saying that, you know, what the dog was supposed to wag its tail, sometimes the tail wags the dog. It was saying it's backwards. The tail has control over the dog, instead of the dog having control over the tail. So we recognize that we say, well, no, I'm in control of this. Are you in control of that, or is that in control of you? I will not be brought under the power of any. People think they're free to do things when in fact they're addicted to them, and they're addicted to the things that they think they are choosing to do. And whether that be, you know, the typical addictions of alcohol and drugs and gambling and so on, they're the typical addictions, but they're not the only things. But many times people think, well, I'm choosing to do this. But in actual fact, if you say, well, then stop doing it, they wouldn't be able to stop, because they're under the power of it. They're under the control of it. Many are bound by sin today, even believers caught up in sin, addicted to things that they ought not to be, because they fail to acknowledge it. Just like these people, we say, I'm a Christian, I'm not in bondage to anything. But if we don't acknowledge our bondage to things, the control that things have over our life, then we're never going to get freed from those things. These people wouldn't be freed from the things that they thought that they weren't controlling them, because they thought they were controlling their own lives already. They thought they were free. Once we realize that we are enslaved by something, or something has the control over us, it's a great thing to know what Jesus says: you can be free. You don't have to be controlled by that. You can be made free. You can be set free. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you made disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So continuing in Jesus' word not only make you a disciple, but it will also give you freedom from those things which control your life. Jesus, of course, his word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God is truth. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalm 119, 151. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Continuing in the word of God, continuing in the truth of God, is continuing in the Bible. How does the truth of God's word bring about freedom? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How? How does it set us free? Well, I believe there are several things, and one of them is that it reveals the error. When we get into the Bible and we start reading the Bible points out the things that are wrong in our life. Romans 7:7 says, I had not known sin but by the law. You could tell somebody, you know, that what you're doing is wrong, and say, how do you know it's wrong? Well, I can take you to a place in the Bible. The Bible will tell you what is right and wrong. The Bible is our absolute guide to what is right and what is wrong. He says, I had not known sin except but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Then I realize, okay, if I've coveted, then I've sinned, because God says, thou shalt not do that. Romans 3:20 says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. There are sometimes we may get, pulled over for doing something, and we say, what did I do? And the police officer says, well, you just broke the law, because this is what the law says, and you broke that law. And say, okay, now I can see where I went wrong. God's word reveals the error to us. We'll see the wrong that we are doing when we continue in the word of God. We'll recognize the worry and fear that is captivating us. We'll see the things that are controlling our life. The Bible sets us free by helping us to see our own sinfulness and bondage to sin. In other words, you won't ask for directions if you don't know you're lost. And some of us guys still don't ask for directions, because we'll figure it out. We're never lost. We're just, on a detour someplace. But you won't ask for directions unless you think you're lost. Unless you realize that you are lost. If you realize, man, I cannot find my way here, I need help. And so the Bible reveals our error to us. It reveals our sin to us. It reveals those things in our life that are controlling our life. As we continue in the Word of God, God will point out those things to us in our life. That's what the Bible does. But further than that, the Bible also reveals the end of the road that we're traveling on. So it will not only say this is wrong, it will show us where that path is heading to. The wages of sin is death. That's what God's word says. We continue in sin, we're headed down a wrong path. The Bible warns us of the addictive nature of sin. Where will that first sin lead to? Well, we looked at that in James chapter 1 a few weeks ago when we talked about not playing the blame game. The Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God says, what you're doing is wrong, and what you're doing is leading you further wrong. That's how the Word of God makes us free. It sets us free by pointing out, because we need to realize those things. If you don't know the road you're on, you won't know where it's taking you. But God says, here's the road you're on, and here's where that road leads to. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Repeated twice in the book of Proverbs 16:25, being the one that I just read for you, almost word for word, God says twice to us that, listen, there's something that may seem okay to you, but get into my word, continue in my word, you'll see where that leads to. It's the wrong road, it's the wrong path. The Bible shows us that believers living in sin are a poor testimony to the lost. So it reveals the road that we're traveling on. What is wrong with the road I'm traveling on? Well, it's wrong, God says. It's leading you to the wrong place, and it's being a poor testimony to other people of what a Christian is and should be. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It reveals the end of the road that we are traveling on. It's important for believers to remember that what we do with our life has consequences. There's choices have consequences. Our sin has consequences. And God says, continue in my word. I'll show you where that path will lead to. And then also by pointing us to the one who can deliver us. The Bible further frees us from bondage by pointing us to the Lord who can bring us the victory in our life. Say, okay, I don't like the road I'm going on. I realize where it's headed to, and it's not a good place. How do I get off it? Well, God's word points us to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can I get the victory over this thing that seems to be controlling my life? Jesus will give you the victory. The Word of God will set you free by pointing you to the one who can set you free, the one who can give you the strength to overcome. Philippians 1:13, I can do all things, how? Through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible points us back to Jesus Christ, the one who strengthens us. Jesus said that without me you can do nothing. So the flip side of that is that with him we can conquer sin. We can do right. And Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We see his example. We see what he accomplished in his life. We see the road that he took and the difficult things that were on that path that he took for us, for our sake, and we look to him who is the author and finisher of our faith. And we say, he is the one who can give me the victory. He is the one that can give me the strength. When our flesh is weak, we need the help of the one who is strong. And Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. The Word of God points us to the one who can deliver us. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Word of God points us to Jesus, the one who is higher than us, the one who can take us from being overwhelmed. And of course, the Word of God sets us free also by showing the benefits and blessings of doing right. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Word of God sets us free because it points out not only the road that we were traveling, where it leads to, not only the one who can deliver us, but it points out the fact that by God's strength, by God's grace, we change our path, and that's the path of blessing. That's the path of victory. That's the path of joy in our life. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. For if any be a doer and not a hearer only, he's like unto a man beholding himself in being doers of the Word, it says that we are doers of the Word, we will be what? Blessed in our deed. Again, the Bible is pointing us to the fact that the path that we were on is wrong, but the path of righteousness is worth the effort that it takes to put those good habits in practice, to get the victory over that sin in our life. It's worth it because God's Word promises over and over again rewards that are awaiting for those who do right. And let's face it, we need an encouragement to do right. Why do they have on those places where they have the, you know, advertising exercise and diets, why do they show the before and the after person? Because they want you to be able to say, well, I kind of look like the before, but look, that person made it. They made it through. So therefore, it's the encouragement. God gives us that. God gives us in His Word. He says, listen, here's the path you can take. And it leads to joy. It leads to blessing. It's worth the effort. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy law. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But he goes on to say more, doesn't he? Because he says in verse number 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Bible is the instrument of our freedom, but the Lord Himself is the one who frees us. He reveals it to us in His Word, and that's how we can be made free, by the Word of God. But Jesus Christ is the one who ultimately gives us the freedom that we need. He has the authority. You see what he says there in verse 35? He says, a servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. God is God. He is the eternal one. We are the servants, but He is the everlasting God. In our temporal lives, sometimes we say, well, I need to take something to a higher authority. You ever had a complaint, maybe? Or something that you've had to address with a service provider, and you talk to the person that's, you know, the first person in line, whether it's on the phone or in person, and it seems like you're not getting anywhere, and you say, I need to take this to the next level. Let me talk to your boss. Let me talk to your manager. Let me talk to the person who is above you. And sometimes we get, you know, have to go up and up and up and up to escalate things, to get it to a position where it gets resolved. You know, the fact is that there may be things that are too hard for us, but take it to the next level. There's nothing too hard for the Son. He has the authority. He has the power. He is the one that can give us great victory. We've read them over and over again throughout even this past year and prior to that. But God said to Abraham when he was said that he was going to still have a son, and Sarah laughed, and God says, there's nothing too hard for God. And Jeremiah realized, and Jeremiah said, Lord, you made the whole heaven and earth. There's nothing too hard. You can make the heaven and the earth. There's nothing too hard for you. And when Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Gabriel said, there's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing too hard for Him. He has the authority. He has the power. He said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. See, I just can't get the victory over this. I just can't take it to the Lord. There's nothing that's too strong for Him. There's nothing that He finds too powerful. When we struggle with victory in our lives, we must remember with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Yes, He has the power, He has the authority to free us, but we must yield to Him. We must yield ourselves to His strength and His power. You don't have to give in to sin. Yield yourself to the Lord. He's provided the victory, but we need to yield ourselves to Him. Listen to Romans 6, verse 12 and 13. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lusts thereof. If sin is reigning in your mortal body, that means it's controlling, it's ruling your life. God says, don't let that happen. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't let yourself be yielded to sinful things. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield yourselves to God. You see a yield sign? What does it mean? It means somebody else has the right of way. You've got to stop, basically, or slow down and let them have the right of way. We need to yield ourselves to God. We need to say, Lord, you have the power. You have the strength. I need you to give me the strength to do right, to quit doing this thing that is wrong. Romans 13:14 goes on to say, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be clothed with Him. Let His power, His strength be yours. Ephesians 6:10-18 talk about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rules of darkness of this world, and its spiritual wickedness in high places. Stand therefore. How? Not in our own strength, but in the power of God. Stand in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you have a problem with your words? The psalmist said, set a watch, Lord, before my lips. Keep the door, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. I just have this real struggle with, this things come out, and oh man, why did I say that? It's a habit I've got to break. Ask God. Set a watch before my... He's got the strength. He'll help you. He'll help you, remind you. He'll prompt you not to say those things. Do you have a problem with worry and fear? We read the verses this morning where it says in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I need victory, and I just have this fear, anxiety, worry. I feel like Martha, careful and troubled about many things. They commit it to the Lord in prayer. He'll give you the strength. He will help you. Do you feel weighed down with care? Cast all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Do you feel weak, faint, like you can't take another step? Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. See, the victory is available. Jesus Christ has provided it. The question is, are you going to try and stand in your own strength? Or are you going to say, Lord, I need your strength, because this is above me. I can't do it, Lord, but I know with your grace and with your strength, I can. When you're struggling with those bad habits, when you're struggling with that sin, remember that Jesus Christ can give you the victory as you yield to Him. Don't try and hide your struggle from Him and pretend it doesn't exist, but ask Him to help you. The songwriter said, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. The chorus of that song says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and heal you. He's willing to help you. He will carry you through. Ask God to help you, and He will. So the question remains tonight, starting out fresh in this year, are you free? Are you free? You say, oh yeah, preacher, I've been set free from the penalty of sin. I'm saved. I know it. And I'm praise God, I don't have to worry about going to hell. I know I'm going to heaven one day. I'm set free. Praise God. That's great. Set free from the penalty of sin. Every Christian is. But are you free from the power of sin in your life between now and then? If you continue in His Word, you'll not only be a disciple, but you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What is it that you desire to be freed from tonight? Is there something in your life that makes you feel trapped in bondage? I can't get out of the victory over this. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Continue in His Word. Yield yourself to Him, and He can set you free.